Then on Saturday morning, I got one small lament about the crowd, just a small one. Numbers and noses, well, noses count, but I'm not all that interested in a big crowd. I like to see folks come, but I sure miss them young people. Not one time did we sing number 23 in the red. And I kind of miss that. That's getting out of Egypt's land. I learned that song over here. And we didn't even get in the red book this time. So, times change, don't they? I need to say something. I did not come here to fight. I don't like a fight, as my friend Brother Carter would say. We done got beyond that. We hope. We can be provoked. But we hope. I do take a stand on my position on the King James Bible. Of course, those of you who know me know that. But I did not come here to fight. I'm not interested in fighting about it. I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible this morning. If I'm going to preach at all. If I go to Russia, Brother Alexei, I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible. Now, what they'll have to do is translate for me, because I can't speak Russian anyway. But I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible. Now, doing that, there's some words and things that may not be just exactly like yours, but I'm going to explain it out of the King James Bible. All right? So, if you have to catch up with me on that, I'm saying that for this cause. All right, got that said. Now, I want you to turn right into the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. I mentioned this the other day that we just did this little short series. I really wanted to go back to Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20 and preach on the deity of Christ revealed in His preeminence, but I just couldn't get liberty to go there and do that. It takes longer than a session, or at least it did me at home. Of course, I can get bogged. I don't know if it's bogged down is the right word, but I'm reminded of what a friend of mine once said. His name is Russell Lee. In fact, it's Russell Lee the Third. I guess he's still the third if the original Russell Lee's passed on. But it's Brother Russell Lee, pastors the Cheetah Baptist Church. And he was reading through the book of Hebrews there in chapter number 11, said, we just don't have time. Now, I'm paraphrasing. We just don't have time to tell you about all this. Preach about all these guys, David. And he said, well, we got time. And so he just took the time to preach about all those guys. I can do that at home, but you can't do that in another session. So I really believe this is where the Lord has settled me. Now, I did not hear an audible sound from God, but I really believe He spoke to my heart, and this is what He wants me to preach about. I'm talking about who Jesus is. Today, you would think it would be a settled thing, but it's not all that settled. Everywhere I go, talk to Brother Tom Brewer about those encounters that he had. People always mention in the name of Jesus, fellowshipping around Jesus, and et cetera, et cetera. But the question is, and the question he posed, which Jesus? And so the question that was posed to me, and one of my ladies, as I said, kind of prompted me to do this. She asked about this series I preached. Well, I couldn't remember preaching the series. So I just went ahead and got one together and dealt with it. Now, I'm not joking when I tell you when we're at the Parkway Baptist Church, normally we'll have 10 or 12 people. And those, and we'll have eight of them, counting Sharon and I, who are faithful. They love God. They are. They do. They love God. Wherever you meet them, they'll be just like you meet them at church. I don't care where they're at. On the golf course, some of them play golf. They like to fish. One of my men drives a truck up and down the road on Interstate 20. He goes from Shreveport to Meridian. Is that right? Meridian, Mississippi, and back every day. If you meet him on the road, he's got the Lord on his mind. I'm just there. But they need this message too. Which Jesus are you talking about? I need this message. I need to keep focused on the Christ of the Bible. The Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it don't hurt us to have this, as my friend Brother Johnny Carter would say, rehearsed. And you might think it odd, this text about this subject, but that's exactly what this fact, this first chapter, well, all of 1 John, But this text, particularly these three verses, is about who Jesus is. What Jesus are you talking about? And so I'm going to just share some of that with you for just a little bit. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1. If you can and will stand, and I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along in your copy. This is what the Bible said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then he gives a parenthetical verse in verse number 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness since, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And then that's the end of the parenthetical verse. And then he picks up again where he left off with verse 1 and says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be brief, but to the point, and that it would be an encouragement and edification to the saints. Part of what you've called us to do is edify the saints. And we also want to exalt the Savior and evangelize sinners, but we also want to edify the saints. And my prayer is you'd help us to do that as we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Help us to do that, and we'll give you the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, you do know I'm an outline preacher. Back yonder, when I first started, Brother Mark, I wrote my sermons out like a lot of folks do, manuscript style. And in those, I couldn't type, so I had to write them handwritten. And if anybody's tried to read my writing, they could see the dilemma that was caused with that. I couldn't read it when it got cold. I had the manuscript there and page upon page, but I'd get confused and lost and never followed it anyway. Somebody said, I want that, and I'd give them my whole manuscript, and they said, that's not what I heard in the pulpit. It didn't sound alike. So I just finally got to being an outline preacher, preached from an outline. And there's not a thing wrong with that. I like the alliterated outline. Some folks make fun of it, and that's all right. You can make fun of me. I figured the fashion patrol would jump on me about my tie not matching my shirt this morning. This is how they normally say, that tie don't go with that shirt. My response is, well, it is today. But so far, they hadn't said anything about my tie not matching my shirt. And if you don't like it, that's all right with me. But I'm an outline preacher, so I'm going to give you my outline right quick. I'm going to use three words in these three verses. And by the way, all of them are in the text. It's the word from in verse number 1. And then it's the word Father in verse number 2. And then it's the word fellowship in verse number 3. So let's go from verse 1 and talk about this. I want to go back to the beginning of the text, the word that. Now, I need to help you understand this. If what my friend said about Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15, taking a ninth grade English lesson to understand this, when you get to this word, it's going to take at least a junior or 11th grade English class to understand that. Who starts a word, a sentence with the word that? And then especially who starts an entire letter with the word that? Now, let me explain to you, this word that does not mean in order so. Now, that's often what the word means. In order so that you might understand something, that, or because of. But it cannot mean that here because he's not talking about something, he's talking about someone. And so, when you get to the understanding of who the someone he's talking about, so like in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15, you have to go to verse 14 or verse 13 or verse 12, somewhere previously. But where are you going to go to when the book starts with that? So you're just going to have to be patient and stay with the book and read on down into the end of the verse, and you find out who that is. And it's the word of life. Now look at it again. I want you to look at it one more time. That which we have handled. That which we have seen, that which we have looked upon, that which was from the beginning, that who is, if you will, the Word of Life. Now that's an interesting statement to me, the Word of Life. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the Word of Life. What does that mean? The word is capitalized. Now in the New Testament text, all words that are capitalized are one of three categories that I can find. This, I've looked at this as hard as I know how to look at it and understand it the best I know how. Is either at the beginning of a sentence or the beginning of a verse. Now sometimes, I don't know who did the divisions in the verses. That was not the original. I understand that. Somebody did. And by the way, I'm grateful for that. You know, because if I had to look up a phrase in the middle of a paragraph that had no indication of what that phrase was, it'd take me forever. I have a hard time seeing anyway. But if you go to verse number 12, I can find verse number 12. I can't, not very high. I might have to go back to verse number 10 and start over. But I can find verse number 12. So I'm glad they did this. I understand all of that. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is that sometimes we need some help with this understanding what that word that is. And here it is. Now the word that's capitalized in the New Testament Bible is found in one or two places, one or three places. Number one, the beginning of a sentence or the beginning of a verse. Or the beginning of a quote. Now, in the King James Bible, there are no quotation marks. Did you hear what I said? Now, if you're not familiar with the King James Bible, you probably don't know that. So, you have to have some kind of understanding of the structure of the sentence to find out where that capitalized word is. And almost always, the capitalized word would have the word prefaced by so-and-so said, or he saith. You look it up, you'll find out that what I'm telling you is the truth. But then the other case is where the words are capitalized, not in reference to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, such as the word like the word word or the word life. Those are a reference. That's, we call that being personified. Those are a reference. And I can't find any place that I can recall that do not refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you what I'm going to tell you about this word of life. Don't matter who we're talking about. What Jesus are you talking about? See, here's what John, he's explaining to them that he's seen them. This is him that was from the beginning. He's handled. He's looked upon with his eyes. They've talked to him. And he has an intimate relationship, a working intimate relationship from that word of life. And so, a word of life. If I had time, I'd go through all of these, but I don't. So I'm just going to tell you the first time the word of life, the capitalized word, is used in the New Testament. Of course, I'm pretty sure you know this. And you'll find it over in the book of John, chapter number 1. I'd like to call your attention to that. There are three verses in John chapter number 1 that make sense to me that we need to understand. Listen to what it says. In the beginning was the Word. Now, he did not show up at the beginning. Are you listening? When the beginning got started, he was already there. Now, I don't understand that. I don't. Y'all can get it down and think you got it figured out if you want to. Eternity boggles my mind. How can there be a God eternally? Where did he come from? When did he get started? The God of the universe. I mean, that's just a question I got in my mind. And the obvious answer from the Bible is he didn't get started. So here's what some smart people have said. He's the uncaused cause. Now everything's got a cause except God. But not only is God the uncaused cause, his Son is also the uncaused cause because he was there in the beginning. He didn't get started at the beginning. As did the relationship between Paul and the Philippians.
You'll go back and study that. They fellowshiped from the beginning. Now, they had a starting point in their relationship. They didn't know Paul until he showed up over there. But Christ had no starting point. I think that's what Melchizedek teaches us. I'm talking about what Jesus am I talking about? This is the Jesus I'm talking about. Who was in the beginning, was in the beginning. I love the song that the kingdom heirs sing. They call it the He's not the God of I was. He's the God of I am. He's the great God of I am. And that's why He don't just did. He does. That's why they don't call Him the God of I was, because He's the God of I am. In the beginning. This is the word, capital W, O-R-D, in the beginning. What's the word? Now watch. Talking about who this Jesus is. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now what you cannot do is make one entity out of that. As some would. When you start talking some of these big theological terms, you get over my head. I said something about the United Pentecostals, and some of these guys corrected me with their labels they put on, and that goes over my head. I'm pretty dumb. Well, I didn't have to tell you that, did I? You already knew that. That's what my preacher, when I surrendered to preach, he said, well, the first thing you don't get up and tell them is you're dumb. They figure that out pretty quick. Well, that's true. But you can't make one entity, one person, and not two persons there, because he said he was with God, but he was God. Now, again, because some stuff that boggles my mind. Then look in verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. So, I believe in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means, how did he get to be a son if he's always been here? Right? You ever thought of that? But he was. That's what the Bible says. Then all the way down to verse number 14. I'm just talking about who that Jesus is. Now I want you to listen to this. And the Word was made flesh. But see, God, the absolute sovereign God, Father God of the universe, was not made flesh. All the way into the New Testament, this is what Jesus says about God. If you're going to worship Him, you're going to have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then when He showed up in the upper room one time, they said they thought He'd seen a spirit. And you remember what His reply was to them? A spirit does not have flesh and bones like you see me have. So when you start talking about God as a spirit, He did not have flesh and bones. And try to explain that when you say God got a mouth. But that's exactly what He talks about. And again, that goes over my head. But I'm saying to you, God the Father was not made flesh. And while God the Father was still God the Father in heaven, God the Son was man on earth. It's God. The same God that was in the beginning with God and was God. The same God was made flesh on earth. God the Father was never made flesh. And had God the Son not become flesh, we'd still never have an image of the invisible God. What Jesus are we talking about? That's the first mention of the word capitalized word. Let me give you the last one. I preached through the book of Revelation 3 times in the little church I'm pastoring. I preached through it another time in another church I pastored. But I ain't never went through it so fast as I did last night in the book of Revelation with Brother Gary was reading. I mean, he just got through it quick and made very little comment about it and was an excellent reading. Let me just call your attention to one place. And it's got nothing to do with eschatology. I'm not trying to cram my eschatology down your throat. I stand on my pre-trib premillennial position. But I've said this, and I've learned this over here, by the way. Here's what I used to think, Brother Carter. I used to think anybody who was not a pre-trib premillennial was liberal. I mean, a-liberal, not just liberal-minded, but a-liberal. But, Mark, that was my position. Now, I never did
Well, probably. I might would have put them with the Antichrist. I might would have 15, 20 years ago. But when I got amongst the crowd that I get amongst them, by the way, I still run with my premillennial brethren, and some of them still have that idea. But I've discovered it don't make no difference what your millennial view is. What we want is who Christ is. That's the message. Now, I believe in the millennial reign, but what if there is no millennial reign? What are you going to do then? If that's all they got to talk about, they don't have much to talk about. 1,000 years is not long compared to eternity. Get over it. Now, if I happen to be right, y'all don't even have to come apologize to me in the millennial reign. Of course, if I happen to not be right, I ain't going to be mad about it either. I'm just going to be glad to be there. Oh, I just want to read this to you. Revelation chapter 19. I want to start with verse number 11 and look through verse 13. Look at this. And I saw heaven open. My eyes are clouding. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and the righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Now, here's what I believe about that. It does not mean that there was a name nobody could pronounce or could read. He got a name written. I can read writing, unless it's mine. But whenever I call him that, I don't know nothing about what I'm calling him, because I ain't him. And the only one who can know what his name is and experience is he. Right? Now here's the name. Now I'm not the Word of Life. I have it. I can read to you from it. It dwells in me, thy word have I hid in my heart. I've got it in my heart. I've got it. But I am not the Word of Life. But there is the Word of Life. And the Word of God. Look what it says. Just look what it says. Now this is the King James Bible. Again, I'm telling you this so I can make you understand, if yours don't read like mine, why I'm saying what I'm saying. But look what it says in verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I don't know what it is to be the Word of God. Jesus knows what it is to be the Word of God because he is the Word of God. I want you to look at this. Every other place you find the word capitalized, before it is the lowercase T and the word D. Every other place in the King James Bible. Now, I don't know anything about the rest of them because I don't look at them, but in every other place. But in this one, the word D is capitalized. Why? Well, I can only think of one thing. That's so that when the final analysis is all said, everybody understands that there's only the one and only the Word of God. And that's that Jesus we're talking about. And by the way, I know you people well enough, most of you that I know, that's the Jesus you preach. You make pains to make people understand. We're not talking about some abstract person who just showed up one day and claimed the authority of being the Son of God. No, we're talking about the Son of God. The Word of God. Now let me give you my second point. This is in that parenthetical verse. Lord help me. Verse number 2 is the Father. Now, here's the quote that I've got in my little text. It's that eternal life which was with the Father. Now there are two words that I want to point out in this verse. And the first one is the word manifested. You can find it in the text. I'm not making this up. There it is. And for the life was manifested. Manifested. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus is life. Did you hear what I said? And without him is no life. If you've got life today,
and any kind of light at all, if you've got life today, it's because of Jesus. And that life was manifested. It's kind of like Brother Tom Brewer was talking about the movie, Is God Dead? God Is Not Dead, or whatever the title of it is. And I thought he brought out an extra. You got to stay with Tom. But I can tell you what, if you'll just stay with him, he'll teach you some. He's taught me some stuff. But he brought this out. God's not on trial. People know there is a God. But they also know there's a Christ. If you'll stay back to Romans chapter number 1 and find out, it was shown in the Godhead. What does Godhead mean? Isn't that interesting? Now here's what the Apostle Paul says, and you can do what you want to about this, talking about this manifestation. When he's writing to the church at Colossae in chapter number 1, he's talking about him preaching the gospel which was preached to. Now this is what it says. Every creature in Bentley, Louisiana, or perhaps every creature in all of Louisiana. But you know what he said in that verse? The gospel preached, and this is the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Isn't that interesting? How? You know, I don't know. You run across people who claim they've never heard the gospel, but they cannot not never have heard the gospel. Even the stars and the clouds and the trees and the mountains and the seas and the storms speak of. What they hadn't done was believe what they saw. And I can tell you why they didn't believe it. Same reason you didn't believe it before God shined the light in your heart. Hello? Well, tell me you got saved the very first time you encountered anything to do with God. You might have got saved the first time you sat under a preaching ministry, but you know some God already been dealing with you.
Yes.
Manifest. But then there's a second phrase I want to talk to you about in this same verse, and it's this word. It's the word manifested. You done, idiot, you done talked about that. I know I ain't as dumb as I look. Well, maybe. But notice he says it again in a different context. Watch. The life was preached to every creature under heaven. Let me read this for you, can I? This might shed a little light on this. I like what this says myself. Some of my friends chide me over the Word of God, but I don't care. Look when Romans chapter number 10, verse number 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into where? All the earth. And their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But he says, is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But they all knew. Isn't that interesting? And here's what he's saying in verse number 2, in the end of the verse, about the word life. It's not just life anymore. Are you with me? That's eternal life. Again, we go back to that phrase, eternal, and it blows my mind. What does eternal mean? Generally speaking, when you start trying to define the word eternal, now don't get it confused with everlasting. What does eternal mean? Is God eternal? What does that mean then? With Melchizedek eternal, what does that mean? Without beginning, without end. And what does eternal life mean? Without beginning, without end. And we want eternal life we've got to have it to get to heaven. I understand that. Do not misunderstand. If you want to be a Christian, a child of God, in order for you to go to heaven, you not only have to have everlasting life, you got to have eternal life. But how are you going to have eternal life if you got started sometime in time? Well, I can explain it to you. It's right here in my text. Whenever you got that Jesus, which we're talking about,
then you have eternal life, because he's talking about the eternal life which was with the Father, which could be none other than that word of life that he was talking about in the beginning. The Word, capital W-O-R-D. Now listen, Jesus Christ, you can look it up. Look it up for yourself. Jesus Christ is that eternal life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, not only do you not have eternal life, you don't have everlasting life. In fact, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't even have life. What you have is a death, which is the first death. And then when you die in that condition and face God in the judgment, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And this is what the Bible said that he read last night. This is the second death. But it's all contingent upon not you or anything you think, feel, or believe, but what Jesus is and what he has done. That eternal life. Then there's a third word. And it's the word fellowship. Here's what John said. That. Now, and the that in verse number 3 is the exact same that in verse number 1. But when you get into verse number 3, down into the phrase, there's another word, that. And there's the in order, so. That. You see that? I don't know nothing about English, but I can read the Bible and figure that out. But when you start studying, you find out that it really does make sense. I'm telling you about him. The that. In order, so that you can have fellowship. Look what it says. That ye may have fellowship with us. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know what you know about the them and us principle in the New Testament, especially in the first epistle general of John, but it'll make you mad if you're not a sovereign grace guy. I can tell you it will. We was over in, where did I meet you, Johnny Carter? Quitman, Texas, in a Back Acres Preacher's Retreat, and there's a fellow over there, a very eloquent fellow over there by the name of Dan Cozart. Some of you may know Brother Dan. And he preached out of 1 John chapter somewhere over there, talking about us and them. And it was the first time my wife had gone to that meeting. And my song leader, little Brother Larry Tress, had gone with us several times over there. And this time, both my wife and his went. And we rode in my car, and we on the way home talking about, we talk about, hey, we critique you guys on the way home. We just do. We might not, everybody but, unless it's good, everybody but Johnny Carter. He don't never say nothing bad about anybody, most of the time. I'm not joking. You can't get him, even if he don't like the fella. If you just press him, he'll say, well, I don't know if I like that much or not. Otherwise, but of course, Johnny wasn't with us, so we could talk what we wanted to. And we was talking about the sermons, and this is what the lady said. I liked all of them, but the us and them. And I knew where she was coming from. But I can promise you, you visit with her now, she'll be the first to point out the us and them. Because God has begun to help her with some things. But there is that principle, the us and them. The fellowship with us. Now, we cannot fellowship with just anybody around and on the name of Jesus. That name's the name of Jesus. The first thing we have to do is identify which Jesus are you talking about. But I can assure you this. If it's not the Jesus, now listen to it. If it's not the Jesus who is the Word of life and the Word of God, we can't fellowship. Because all of our fellowship comes from, based upon, the written Word of God, the inspired Word of God. It does. Now, I want to hasten to say this. We don't necessarily have to agree in every point. You know, whether you agree with that or not, I don't know. It doesn't. You don't have to be a premillennial for me to fellowship with you. You have to be a premillennial to have your eschatology right. But you don't have to be a premillennial for me to fellowship with you. I love you. Let me just give you this one little testimony and I'll be done. My good friend Conrad Merle is not premillennial. He might have used to be, but he thinks he's gotten better than that now. And he don't belabor that anywhere he goes. Except for one place, they just badgered him until he agreed to preach on amillennialism or whatever his eschatology is. Before he got home, he wrote me a good long letter explaining to me why he did that. And et cetera, and he would not, and he said, I will never do that in your church. Of course, unless I ask him to. But you know what he cannot not do? Bring up his eschatology. He can't divorce that from what he is. He just can't. And you can't. You cannot do that. But he can do that. And you know what? I don't throw up a red flag. I don't get up and correct Conrad. God forbid. I mean that. God forbid that such as I correct such as he. Now, I might, if somebody says, well, didn't Conrad say, yeah, but that is Conrad's position, but I don't agree with it. And he comes to my church and preaches for me 5 times in October every year. And as far as I'm concerned, he'll continue to do so until he's strictly no longer able. And I never told him what not to preach. Here's my point. The fellowship is around the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Now this is what Conrad Merle said when somebody said something about what we don't agree on. I heard him say this. He got up and said, yeah, but I can guarantee you, Brother Bryant, and I agree on a whole lot more than we don't agree on. Amen. And that's where we are. The fellowship is in. What Jesus are you talking about? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Help us to fellowship in the Word of God, the incarnate Word of God. And therefore, we can fellowship with you and other believers as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.